So I gave a shiur on the other side of the heights tonight, and I spoke about Parshas Parah. Now the whole avoda of Parah is that sometimes we need to just accept things for what they are. You look at all the Chazals about Parah; it always describes Parah as a gzera. Rashi famously describes it as a gzera, but there are many other Chazals, statements of Chazal, that describe Parah as a gzera. And the whole avodah of Parah is to leave it as a gezerah, not to tamper with it. Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about it in Emes LeYaakov, the idea of something being a chok and leaving it alone and just letting it be a chok. He says that's why Parah was given at Mara, it was given before even it was shayach to do it. Why do I need to learn about it if I can't do anything with it? And he says that's exactly the point. You're supposed to, it's an attitude, it's a mindset. So Rafal Zev asked me to speak about learning Gemara, I think. Is that what you sort of asked about?
Not sure.
Okay, we're not sure. But I was thinking maybe how we can connect this to Parshas Parah, which according to at least one man d'amar, according to one opinion in Shulchan Aruch, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's on par with Zachar, and there are connections connections between Parah and Zachar, perhaps. But the idea of it just being a mitzvah d'oraisa is itself very significant. Zos chukas haTorah. It's the chok of all of Torah. This idea of a gzeir and just accepting it. So how does that apply to maybe Limud Gemara and Talmud Torah in general? So I think one of the problems, and this is true, I teach high school boys, for those who don't know, and I hear it all the time from them, but I think it's something that we all ask, which is, you know, what am I getting out of this? Right? Especially, it's true in Torah in general sometimes, but I think it's especially true in Gemara. Sometimes a person feels, if I learn a Sefer Musar, if I learn Sefer Chassidus, if I learn Tanakh, sometimes I connect with it better. Sometimes I'm learning a sugya, and I'm learning a rishon, or I'm learning an achron, and it's very nice, and I think I even understand it, right? But I'm not. I don't feel like okay. So like, what do I, and like, where do I go with this? You know, it's not a musar. It's not something I can live with. How does this new piece of information affect me as a person? And therefore, we're drawn to what we would call pnimius haTorah, or to more avodas Hashem type of building Torah. So there's a vart from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, really from the Gra, who said it to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that's shayach to these parshios. Because when we talk about the Aron was built gold, a box of gold, surrounded by a box of wood, and a box of gold. So one time the Gra and Rav Chaim were talking about pnimius haTorah. Right, and you know, again, there are times where we're drawn more to the pnimius haTorah than a Gemara. It's sometimes easier to get into. It's more eye-opening. It's more exciting. It's more radical, in a good way, than breaking your head on a Tosfos. So just to show you that, really, as people were programmed more to niglas haTorah than to nistar, so the Gra said the following vart, and it's a very good vart. He says the inner box of gold represents pnimius haTorah. The outer box of gold represents nigla. The wood in the middle represents man. Right? Man is that wooden box in the middle. So he says, think about it. He says, the wooden box, right, that represents man, can touch the inside of the outer box. Meaning, the outer box represents nigla. Man can penetrate to the depths of it. He can touch the inside. He says, but the innermost box of gold, which represents nistar, the wood only comes into contact with the outside. So that's to say that what? That, you know, sometimes we think, oh, if I dabble in, you know, in nistar, if I dabble in things that are deeper, so to speak, right, then sitting with Gemara Rashi Tosfos, so I can get more out of it. I feel like I'm getting more out of it. I'm touching a deeper area of Torah. But the truth is, I'm touching something more superficial. I'm touching, at best, the outside of the nistar, when the MS, a person can touch the inside of nigla, which in some ways, again, can be a loftier lesson, a loftier level. But I think, again, this attitude of wanting to get something, to wanting to feel something, is something that we all struggle with. And again, especially true by Gemara. So what do we get when we learn Gemara? So there's a statement I saw in the Medrash Rivash, it's called a Likud from Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, and it says in the Medrash Rivash, it says, I don't understand how the Gula hasn't come yet. Baal Shem Tov said, I don't understand. He says, Gemara, every line of Gemara is filled with, right, so-and-so says this, b'shem this, so-and-so, right? Every line of Gemara is b'shem omro, over and over and over and over again. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos that a person who says something b'shem omro is maybe gula l'olam. Right? So first of all, you wonder, what do I get by learning Gemara? Every time you mention a name of a Tana, of an Amora, right? And sometimes you have lists, and the Gemara will sometimes just tell me, it's, you know, b'shem Rav. Why don't you tell me, so-and-so, b'shem so-and-so, in the name of Rav. Just tell me it's Rav. Because that advances the Gula. Baal Shem Tov said, it's a Chiddush. I don't understand how it's possible that the Gula hasn't come. Every time you learn a daf of Gemara, you're advancing the Gula in a tremendous way. What else do we get when we learn Gemara? So there's a beautiful statement that I saw from Rav Baruch HaMezhmash. In the Butina de Nahora, Rav Baruch HaMezhmash, I'll give you a page, but this sefer, this edition doesn't have pages. I made up my own page numbers. It's page 11. You can look afterwards. Rav Baruch said, "Amar shetmiel lo heich adam yachal lumud Gemara." Rav Baruch said, "I don't understand how it's possible for a person to learn Gemara. How is it shaykh to learn Gemara? Kigon abaye amar hachi, Rava amar hachi. Chutzpah to even say such a thing. Abaye who may olam acher, Rava who may olam acher. They were from a different world. Who am I to dabble in them? And how can I bring them together? How can I bring together different statements from people who lived in different time periods? How do I attach it all together? How do I connect to it? How do I learn the two of them in the same breath? Abaya, Rava. V'amar she'imrotza lishnos milei da'abaya, tzarech mikodem likshuras nafsho b'nefesh da'abaya. Whatever that means, I don't know what this means. But before, right, what am I getting when I learn Gemara? So hopefully, if I'm learning it properly, I attach myself to the soul of Abaye, so to speak. And then I'm shaykh to the world of Abaye. Right? I become Abaye. Again, how do you want to understand this? Ibur neshama, you literally become Abaye. And then I attach myself to Rava. And I'm constantly attaching myself to these people to the point that you have a new understanding of a Gemara that's where, in Maseches Yevamos, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's in Daf Ayin Tes, doesn't say here, just a parish of Gemara. Ha'omer davar b'shem omro, sifsosav dovavos b'kever. I don't know where it is. I think it's in Yevamos, no? Okay. Right, your lips, the lips of a person, when you say it over, maybe davar b'shem omro, ha'omer davar b'shem omro, right? Sifsosav dovavos b'kever. His lips are you know, chattering in the grave. What's the pshat? You become the Tana. So Ein Achanami, Shalom. Ein Achanami, the Tana is not speaking in the grave, but you become his voice piece. You become his mouthpiece. You become Abai, you become Rava. And you're able to mash them together. So you're maybe the Gula Olam. You take on, again, whatever this means, the Neshama of a great Tzaddik. Right? So there's what, sometimes the things that are taking place beneath the surface, and we're learning a sugya, and again, it doesn't have that wow factor of maybe some of the other svarim that some of us like to look into, right? So it's really a very powerful experience. It's hard to put a price tag on a blot of Gemara. And many great tzaddikim have spoken about the chashivas of a blot of Gemara, just to give us a little perspective. You know, a lot of yeshivas are coming to TABC now and asking, interviewing Bachurim, right, for prospective yeshivot. And one of the things, one of the games that some of the interviewers like to play is, you know, if you could meet anyone in the history of the world, who would it be? Right, obviously you're expected to say someone Jewish, obviously, right? Someone, a Tanakh personality, probably. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? If you're like clever, you say like Hashem, and you like try to, then you get ripped on for like saying something that's totally unrealistic. So let's play a different game, right? If you could meet someone from the last 100 years, who would it be? Okay, so we could all debate it. I'm sure some of us would have different opinions, but I'm sure if we put this question out to the larger Olam, I'm sure many people would pick the Chafetz Chaim. It's hard to imagine the Dibbuk went, right? The Dibbuk possessed that girl, and the Chafetz Chaim was busy exercising the Dibbuk along with Rav Elchanan Wasserman. And they asked about the godless of the Chafetz Chaim, what's his standing in Shemayim, and he was compared to a Tana. The Chafetz Chaim was big stuff, right? Sorry to talk in a childish lashon, but the Chafetz Chaim was really an adam gadol, shein kamoh, right? Someone who lived within the last 100 years. So I'm sure many of us would love the. Can you imagine the Chafetz Chaim came? Imagine Chafetz Chaim came to Yeshiva University. Right? Imagine what a maimed it would be. What a big, unbelievable gathering! It'd be all these hachanas, there'd be posters, CJF would be like all over it. It would be a very big event. If the Chafetz Chaim came to Yeshiva University, and I'm sure no one would hesitate, right, to get up from even if he came during night seder, even if he came during Elul, I'm sure everyone would go to greet the Chafetz Chaim. Even if he wasn't giving a shiur, just to shake his hand, to get a bracha, to stand before the Chafetz Chaim. You'd imagine that everyone would line up. So they tell a meisen, Alein l'shabeach, he brings a meisen, Parshas Amor, about a time the Chafetz Chaim came to town. Someone once asked, or Shlomo Levenstein once asked, Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, passed away this past year. They asked Rabbi Michal Yehuda, did you ever have the zechus to meet the Chavetz Chaim? So he says, the talk of the Chavetz Chaim once came to my town. He says, but I was too lazy. So Rav Levenstein pressed him and said, what do you mean you're too lazy? Pashas was, you weren't too lazy. So he pushed him a little bit to explain. And Rav Michal Yehuda very humbly said, Gamanima od ratzisi liros es panav shel Chavetz Chaim. He says, trust me, I would have loved to see the Chavetz Chaim. Everyone in the whole town gathered to meet the Chavetz Chaim. Aval yoser ratzisi l'sheves u'lilmod od daf gemara. But more than I enjoyed, more than the opportunity to stand in the presence of the Heilige Chavetz Chaim, to sit and learn another daf gemara, right? Maybe it was a daf that he knew. Stama he knew Shas, right? Maybe not, maybe yes. Right? And he concludes, Yerevanachter nosif, l'chein zocha ador shalanu l'kabal Rosh Hashiva kezeh. A Rosh Hashiva who understands the value of a daf gemara, that daf gemara is worth more than the zchus of standing before the Chavetz Chaim, which was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Right? A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm just remembering a story now with Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, I think, at one point was on a boat, and he was somewhere by the Golden Gate Bridge. Is this a story? Does anyone know this story? And they said to him, take a look, this is a sight to see. You'll never see this again in your life. And he says, oh, I'll never have the opportunity to learn the Gemara when I could have gone to see the Golden Gate Bridge. So, l'havdil. I'll never have an opportunity, right? To see the Chavetz Chaim is, you know, is l'mala, you know, and everything. But to have the opportunity to learn, to give up that, to learn a Daf Gemara. Can you imagine what that Daf Gemara is worth? But I think it just shows you the value of a Daf Gemara. Right? So you know, there's what to gain from a Daf Gemara. It gives us perspective. Again, if we can't appreciate it, I'm sure every one of us would go to greet the Chavetz Chaim instead of chazering a blot that we know. We're trying to pick up a couple new lines, break your teeth on a few new lines. Right? I'm sure we would all choose the opportunity to meet the Chavetz Chaim. But again, it just gives us a little perspective on what happens when we come into contact with a blot of Gemara. Now, I know everyone here is learning Yevamos, and I know from some of you that can be sometimes frustrating, and it could be many people feel that way. It could be in general, Gemara sometimes is frustrating. It's not a new problem that Jews are scared of Gemara. It's actually a very age-old problem. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kafalei Har Kigigis. Alright, so Tosfos was asked in Shabbos Peches, what do you need Kafalei Har Kigigis? The Jews already said Nasa Benishma. What are you forcing us into? It doesn't make any sense. Once we've agreed to it, what are you forcing us into? So Tosfos gives one answer. They got scared. They retracted once they saw the Kolos, the Rakim. They were scared by the laser light show. Right, but the Medrash Tanchum and Parshas Noach, Noz Gimel gives a different shot. V'yem tomer al Torah shebichsav kafalei mesahar. If you'll say maybe Hashem had to force them into accepting Torah shebichsav, v'lo mishah shamalen mekablen otemes the Torah anu kulam v'amru nasa v'nishma. That wasn't a problem. We'll take that. No big deal. If they should ain't by a giv a tzar v'himat. 5,845 pesukim. It's relatively easy reading, if you could say such a thing. Right? Ela amr lehen al Torah shebal peh. Sheishba dikduke mitzvos, kalos v'chamuros, v'oza kamaves, v'kasha kishol kinasa. It's impossible. It's so difficult, it's so dense, it's so hard. It's the minutia, the halachic minutia, kalos v'chamuros, it's mamish, oza kamaves. That's a very strong lashon. So when the Jews heard, oh, by the way, along with, you know, these 54 nice, you know, books of stories, right? Along with the 54 parashios, or with the, you know, the books of Tanakh, maybe, which we could handle, no big deal. But it comes along with 2,711 pages of very complex law. I'm not so sure that's for me. So it's not a new problem that a Jew, you know, trembles a little bit when it comes to when it comes time to putting himself in front of a Gemara. But that's not what Kafalayim Harkigigis was. The response to a Yid's fear of sitting down in front of a Gemara because of the Gdukei Halachos, Kalos V'chamuros, is Dafka Y, Kafalayim Harkigigis. And we live with that today. It's not Kafalayim Harkigigis, you got forced into it, and now you're always going to learn Besimcha. Kafalayim Harkigigis means that what? It was difficult for you then, right? And I forced you into it. And sometimes that's how you're going to continue to study Gemara. You're going to have to force yourself to do it. Baal Shem Tov writes in Parshas Yisro Ozayin, V'siyatu v'tas tach t'sahar, Darsh Rav Asinu b'gemar, Shekafalei Mar Kigigis. Says the Baal Shem Tov, he's quoting from the Ben Paras Yosef, I heard from my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov, L'kach chafa gadosh baruch al Yisrael har kigigis. Why did Hashem put a mountain overhead? L'lam et shagam she'eno choshek l'torah v'avodas Hashem mikol makom ein ben chorin libatel. I'm not in the mood to, who cares? Who says you have to be in the mood? Where do we get this idea that we have to be in the mood to learn Torah? Kafalei Mar Kigigis. And it was dafka Kafalei Mar Kigigis on Torah Shabbat Peh. That's where we're not in the mood. who's not in the mood to sit with Munasitecha all day. I was chazring Zev's Munasitecha this past Friday night. It's marked it up cover to cover. So I have to look at his Yavamis now and check him out. See what it's looking like. But who's not, we would sit all day with that. Many of us. I can speak for everyone in the room, but many of us would be very comfortable with that. But dafka kafalei marke gigas lelami jagam sheino choshek letorav avodas Hashem mikom bakom eno ben chorin libato rakiyasa balkarcho. So force yourself to do it. V'yadama kamisha kofanos or lasas balkarcho. Make it like someone has a gun to your head. The way Hakadosh Baruch Hu put a mountain overhead. Who derech tov liyishi so eli yomei akatnas. This is how we push through when things aren't so good. And the truth is, when we push ourselves through in that way, of course, over time, right, the cheshek will come. But to think that we have to enjoy it. Maybe that's the goal, that's the hope. But to think that's, you know, a tanai in opening the Gemara is not true. You're not in the mood, so what? That's part of the avodah of being a yid, and that's exactly what Kafalei Marke Gigas was. Right, a famous Aleh Shor at the beginning of Chelek Aleph. On Limud Gemara, I'm sure many people have learned it before, but just to chazer it. Ha'emes hi ki ilulei Torah ein chayim. V'hechre chiyuni l'limud Torah. Right, this necessity of learning Torah, he says, is spread out. I'll call echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael. Everyone feels a certain. You have to feel a certain hechrich to learn Torah. Hacheshek bo yavo. In time, you'll start to get into it. Avah haschala hi hechrich. You need to throw yourself into it. Uman afkaminim loan demitzad cheshek demitzad hechrich. Says Rav Volbi in his piece on Limud Gemara. What's the difference between a person who learns with a cheshek and a person who learns because he knows he has to? He has no choice. Im loan demitzad hechrich. If he learns out of a sense of necessity. When his cheshek is weak, or when it's totally lost, he doesn't allow a weakness to set in. He understands that there's a necessity. I have no choice. Cheshek, okay, it's nice to have it. But there's a responsibility. Again, he's talking specifically about Limud Gemara because he understands there's a metzias that sometimes, again, the frustration presents itself in Limud Gemara that we don't feel inspired to do it. We're not excited about it. And maybe we're tired even. Right? It happens once in a while. We stay up too late. Chavetz Chaim would have yelled at us for that also. But you have to sometimes just throw yourself into it.
It's like the Maharal on Parki Gigas.
What does he say?
He says, same question that Tosas asked, why... We said Nasa Nishra wanted
to
do it.
Yeah.
I think we said that, okay, at the time we were inspired, but Hashem was telling us that even when it's not great, you still have to...
That's exactly what the Baal Shem Tov said. Yeah, that's why we needed a Harkei Gigas. We can't only commit ourselves to learning when it's going well. But again, I think we connecting that Medrash Tanchuma to it, we take it a step further, because it's Dafka, there's an understanding that Gemara can sometimes be overwhelming to us. That's just the way it is. You talk about Yisachar as the paradigmatic, you know, Torah scholar, the Masmid, right? He's mamish, you know, steiging all day. So the pasuk says by Yisachar in Bereishis Mem Tes is Vayar Menucha Ki Tov Vesaaret Ki Ne'ama. So I saw a pshat from the Baal Akedah, the Akedah Yitzchak. He says, what's the difference between Tov and Na'im? See, Tov is something which is betachlis atov. Tov is something which is objectively good for me. It may not be fun, but it's necessary. Right? You know, Chaim's in the hospital now. He's having treatments constantly. That's tov. That's very tov for him. It's terribly not fun. He's not feeling well at all. He's not, you know, we're going to say some tilm after his mitzvah. It's not, there's nothing na'im about his experience right now. I can assure you. But it's very tov. It's very necessary that he gets his treatment and he goes, you know, he gets his chemo and he gets his medicine. And again, it's extremely unpleasant. But it's tov. Medicine, says the Baal Akedah, is tov. Na'im is a person who's enjoying, like he says, you know, fatty foods, delicacies. It's pleasant, but it's not tov. It's not essentially good for you. So I saw Rav Hirschsprung said, and maybe I'm elaborating on it a little bit, that when it comes to Torah, Torah is the ultimate tov. Right? Vayar menucha ki tov. Yisachar, again, the paradigmatic Torah scholar, has tov and na'im. There's supposed to be a ni'imus that comes to the Torah, but the main thing we have to remember is that it's tov. And I think that's what Chazal are expressing in two places, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the Brachos Daf Hei, right? Ein tov el Torah. The definition of Torah is that it's something that's, it's like medicine sometimes. It's necessary and it's good for us, but it's not always going to be na'im. The goal should be like Yisachar. It's tov, it's na'im, it has the combination of the two. But the reality is, ein tov el Torah. You have to be bekabel at times that the Torah is tov, and that's what I have to do. I have to take my medicine and I have to make sure that I, you know, have a healthy, balanced diet, which I don't. speaking for myself and my Avodas Hashem, my own Lima Torah, it's not balanced as it should be. But that's what we're here. We're trying to mechazik it. We're trying to figure out how we can become, you know, better balanced Jews who are inspired in all areas of Torah. That's the goal. That's what we're striving to do. You know, sometimes a person's not inspired in Gemara because he says, "What am I going to do with this?" But again, there's a practical. If I learn a Sefer Musar, I learn something that I feel like I can practice, I can live with, I can work on. So it's very easy to want to live with that. Gemara, so I learned the machlokes, you know, ketos and nesivos. Okay, so maybe it has halacha l'maisa ramifications. Maybe I'll never apply to my life, and I'm not a posek, and I'm not going to give. You know, I'm learning up these rishonim, but I'm never really going to have an opportunity. Next year, I'll move on to the next masechta. I'll do this for a couple of years while I'm learning in yeshiva, and then I'll be more balabatish for the rest of my life, or maybe not. Maybe I'll even learn the ian on my own. But what am I doing with all this? Where do I go with it? Right. So why do I need to throw myself into it? Because I'm not living with it. No one cares to hear me say over the diuk and the rashi that my Rebbe made in shir this morning. So I don't really need to push myself in that moment, since it's such a fleeting moment in time. It's a couple of years, let's say. Even a guy says, well, let's say you stay in chinuch, so maybe you apply it a little bit more, right? But I'm saying, what percentage of us are going to be giving a high-level shir like the shir that you're hearing from your Rebbe? So no one cares about this diuk and rashi. Not to be rude, right? We do care, but I'm saying no one else in the world really cares to hear this. Everyone's making their diuk and rashi, so you know, Rebbe has his diuk and his Rebbe has his diuk, and where do I go with it? So I'll sit and learn it for a couple of years, but I don't have to be. That I really need to chazer it. I'm going to forget it anyways in 5 years from now. So what's the point? So I think the answer is like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says in this week's parsha, the Mishkan was built to last for a very short period of time. He says on the pasuk Vamalacha Ha'isa Dayam L'Chol Malacha, there was plenty. There was a tremendous amount that was brought. Look how much these Jews cared about the mitzvah, despite the fact that they knew this was so temporary. Look how much they donated. And they worked and worked and worked to build it up, and they chazered it. Right? They put it up, they took it down, they were working on it. If not for Chedim Raglim, how long do they need the Mishkan for? You put all this time and all this effort and all this energy, you invest yourself monetarily and physically, right? And then they're going to go straight into Eretz Yisrael and they're going to build a binyan shel avanim, and that's the end of it. They did it for the mitzvah l'shata, for a short period of time. But they said, you know what? Who knows? Who knows what this, maybe the Mishkan in this short period of time is going to be worth more than the mikdash will stand, a more solid mikdash. So maybe it's not my primary avodah is not going to be saying over shir and gemara, you know, be'ian, and to say over chakiras and lamdas. Maybe that's not my long term plan. But so what? So why shouldn't I throw myself into it now? The Mishkan was supposed to last for a very short period of time, and they threw themselves into it. They built it as best they could because they understood the chashivas of the mitzvah. And I think again that's part of the kafalei marka gigas. The goal is not to live that way. The goal is to get to a point of enjoying it. But if, you know, b'shas ma'isa, if you have to throw yourself into it and push yourself to do it, so that's what a person needs to do. And that's how we achieve. And then we give it our best shot, and we try our best, and we try to learn it well, and we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we care. And even if it doesn't always work out, even if you fall asleep in shir sometimes, and even if you don't chazer it properly, and you get frustrated, you say, why am I doing this? Why am I wasting my time? Let me sit down with just some Mishnayos and get Shisha Sidra Mishnah down. What do I need to pretend to learn B'Yin if I'm going to forget it, you know, a week from now? What's the point? I know it's a feeling that sometimes we live with. There was a taxi driver in Eretz Yisrael who had this chus of one time driving the stipler. From Brazil, Shmuel Brazil brings it in, Bishvili Nivra Olam. He tells the Maisa, he says that one time, a certain Adam Gadol got into a taxi cab, Rosh Hashiva, and the driver says to him, I want to tell you that one time I had this chus of driving the Baal Kilos Yaakov. Okay. He says, what did you talk about? He says, I told the stipler that I try to learn a little. Stipler, they ask me questions. Do you learn after work? I know you're very busy. You're driving. Do you learn after work? And I told the stipler, yeah, I try. You know, I go to Gemara Shir every night. And he said, the stipler said, that was beautiful. It's wonderful. And then I started to tell the stipler, you know, the truth is, Rebbe, you know, I go to the Gemara Shir. I hardly understand the Shir. I often fall asleep. And so there's a question. What am I sitting there for? What do I need it for? Am I really... How much, you know, what can I say over? I can sit there for year after year after year, and what have I really taken from it? What do I need it for? So he says, the stipler said back to him the following, obviously these aren't his words, but this is the tochen of what he said. He says, I understand the feeling. You feel like you're not accomplishing much, you're not worth very much in the world of Torah, at least from your perspective. General gadol. I can tell you that in the heavens, you're a general. You're a sar shel Torah. Because you do what you can. And more than that, what do you think Hashem demands more? You do what you can. You try your best. You try to care and you try to do your best. Even if you're falling asleep on the Gemara, so the sniper told us not. Alright, so we could be cynical, we could say he's just trying to be nice, trying to cheer him up. Right, but Lamaisa, that's you know, the avoda is you go to Bashir and you try your best, and sometimes you fall asleep, and then you say, what am I doing there? What's the point? Right, well, what percentage of people in the world are going to a serious Gemara Shir? What percentage of people in the world are even opening Gemara? Right, what tiny percentage of people on the planet, and of the people who are Jewish, what percentage of them are sitting and trying, even trying on any level to learn Bein? You try, you do a little bit, you do a little bit, and you see that it adds up. I remember by Simon, I remember Parsha Shir once, where he quoted a Medrash in Shir HaShirim. Right? The foolish person says, when am I going to finish everything? The smart person says, what? Two halachos today, two halachos tomorrow, two halachos the next day. And next thing you know, he's a mayan on his gaber. He builds up over time. And I was thinking today, maybe that's the pshat. Chazal say, lo nin Torah ala uchle yamam. So the very from Sfarim say, what's the pshat that the Torah was given to the uchle yamam? Mesiras nefesh. Right? A person who's mistapik b'muat. You want to really be, you want to become something in Torah, you need to live the bare minimum, right? Our famous noodle Shabbaton conversation. Is it like, right? Is it a g'nai to the Torah to eat anything other than noodles or just bread, right? Are you like a bal taiva if you eat normal food, right? But I was thinking maybe another pshat. What's the pshat when Chazal say in Maseches Yoma that the Torah was given to the Ochlei Aman? I think the Ochlei Aman, the other point of the Ochlei Aman is that you live day to day. If you want to be successful in Torah, you have to have an Ochlei Aman attitude. You have to say, right now, working on this toast, Yevamos is impossibly long, and it's very big, and there's an endless amount, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you get like, it's like a weightlifting when you pick up that Ritva. There's two huge fat volumes. I have them on my shelf at home. Shana Aleph, I bought, it was a great sale, the Mosar cook. I bought the whole set of Ritva. I remember schlepping these two boxes. I've never opened that, I've never learned Yevamos, Gemara. And I've never opened that Ritva once. And I'm scared of it. Without even like, I'm like so terrified of it. Just the thought, it's like, why bother starting? Like, I'm never going to finish, clearly. I want to pick up a couple lines here and there. What's the point? But that's what it means to be Ochlei Aman. I take it day at a time. And I take my little, you know, my little pekala of whatever it is. And I eat it. I process it. I do what I can with it. And then the next day, I get a little more. And that's how I become, that's who the Torah is given to. The people who are Ochlei Aman. People who understand that if I take a little bit and I appreciate what I'm doing, that it's a bigger schus than meeting the Chavetz Chaim to sit in front of the Gemara, and I'm a general in the army even if I'm falling asleep, and all the other ideas, I become a Bayan Rav and everything else we said tonight, right? So then you understand a little bit what happens when you learn Gemara. I'll be Mesayim with a story from the Rebbe Reb Zusha on the first Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos. The story is that the Rebbe Reb Zusha had a hard time getting into Gemara. The Rama Mipano says there are certain people, even in the times of Tanaim and Amoraim, who were more internally inclined, and they came to Pnimius HaTorah first and only came to Nigla after. Right? Even though we would say that's foolish, what do you mean? How could a person come to anything Pnimi if he doesn't have the basics, he doesn't have the meat and potatoes? But the Rama Mipano says there were tzaddikim even in the times of Tanaim and Amoraim who lived that way. The Rebbe Reb Zusha was a person who anytime he tried to learn Gemara, they said he only could learn it in a Pnimius way, he couldn't learn Pshat the way that it's meant to be learned. And he tried many different chavrusas, all of which failed. So finally, there's different gersos of this story. He had an arrangement with the Rebbe Shmelka of Nicholsburg to try to have a chavrusa b'gemara. Okay, the Rebbe Shmelka sat down, and they were learning Yevamos, and they opened first Mishnah. Chamesh esrei nashim potro sarasein v'sara sarasein. And he said, right, min chalitza, min ayibum, atzof ha'olam. He started explaining to him the first Mishnah, adar chapshat. Right, and the Rebbe Zusha couldn't contain himself. He says, "Who says that's the pshat?" Rashi, Tosos. Rebbe Zusha said, "I think the pshat's like this." He said, "I think the pshat's like this." Chamesh Esrei, right? Chamesh is 15. That's Yudin Hay. Noshim sounds like Anah Hashem. So he says, "I think the pshat is the opening Mishnah." He said, "I think pshat right, pshat, is right, ka, it's a call to Hashem, right? Ana Hashem, nashim, ana Hashem. It's a call to Hashem that what? Hashem, what do we ask of you? Poetra sarasayin, vatsara sarasayin, remove us from all of our tsaras, and so follow them. We don't want any more tsaras. Right? Needless to say, the Chavrusa struggled to be successful. There's different stories about that Chavrusa that took place between the Rebbe of Shmelka and the Rebbe of Zusha, and how over time they were able to maybe make some progress. But no, there's different ways to learn Gemara. You know, there's different ways to learn Gemara. And I think sometimes we forget that the Gemara has all the pnimius in the world in it. Obviously, that's not pashut pshat of the Mishnah. But sometimes if we learn it, you know, if we open our eyes to see a little bit beyond the surface, that could also be a chizik to us. So Birtz Hashem, we should try to strengthen ourselves in this important area. And sometimes kafalei markigigas, if we have to force ourselves to be yidden who are strong enough to take that challenging step, to not run away, right, just because the Kodesh Baruch is presenting us the Torah Sheval Peh, which can sometimes be overwhelming. We take Revolbi's words to heart and understand that sometimes we have to learn out of Hechrich and push ourselves, and it's not always fun, it's not always what I want to be doing, but if we understand that that's the Indian of Kafalei Marka Gigas, Mirtz Hashem will be zocha to the sweetness, the Ne'imus HaTorah as well.